Wally last week asked me if I would be willing to record a little video and maybe gather the troops with some story and with some what are we learning during our time. I mean, our Marcia and I miss our time together. Not her and I time together, but connection point, being able to be in each other's space just a little bit and see how you're doing. It's those touch points that we miss, and so we got to figure out how to figure it out moving forward. But anyways, as far as the stories, I'm really glad he asked me about this because story is so important to me. And I thought what I would do is I want to introduce you to when I first was influenced that story might be something significant in my life. Like any other 15-year-old, I got drunk, and then normally we would steal a car, and then the best part was we would hit a tree with that car. This was serious and trouble stuff. I mean, I'm just like, oh, my word. See the truck pull up with the guillotine. But the ambulance came and kind of got me in the ambulance. And I remember I'm sitting on the gurney and looking up, and this medic is very compassionate. He was really good, and I'm kind of sobbing, and 15 years old, and drunk. So it was great. But the medic is looking at me, and he goes, you know, you're going to be okay. It's going to be all right. And he said, someday you're going to tell this story and laugh. You're going to tell this story. You're going to make it through this. And I remember thinking story must be a pretty cool thing, you know, and that was just a seed that ultimately blossomed through the rest of my life up until now. So with that, I think it's just about being aware of our stories, regardless of our circumstances or where we're at with certain things. Sometimes we don't think that we've signed up for this. As far as COVID and all these changes, and I don't even want to say a new normal because there is no new normal. It's just shifting, and so we need to serve some things. But in the idea that this isn't what I signed up for, the reality is this is exactly what I signed up for. I've signed up to follow him through anything, and so yeah, this is what we signed up for. And so to be able to meet this way, to be able to meet in person, to meet in any way is a blessing. So, yeah, I would love to hear from some other folks if they want to record something and share some stories. We'll play them before the next service, next week's service. That would be great.
Good morning, Walker Harbor, or afternoon, or evening, whenever you're watching this. My name is Jessica Mitchell, and I am the Kids Coordinator with Walker Harbor. I'm going to get you started with some announcements today. I'm going to start with our statement of purpose first. We are here because we've caught a glimpse of light in the midst of darkness. For some, this light was blinding. For others, it was a soft flicker, enough to call us toward it. We know this light will last, and we trust that this light extends beyond death. So let us now collectively explore the next right step on the illuminated path. Welcome to the gathering. Welcome. I cannot believe it's Christmas this week. It's crazy. And to go along with this crazy year, we're going to be doing things a bit differently. We will be streaming our Christmas Eve service live on Facebook at 4 p.m. So Christmas Eve, 4 p.m., join us on Facebook to kind of celebrate together at the same time, live on Facebook, Christmas Eve, 4 p.m. So that's Christmas Eve. We are also working on end of the year kind of collaborative video where we want to hear from you. So we need you to send in a response in a minute or less, You can maybe stretch it to two, but it's going to be added to, you know, the whole service. So we don't want it to go too long, but we just want to know. So you only have to answer one of the following questions. What did you learn this year amidst all the craziness of that it has been? Or you could answer, how have you seen God in this year, in this season? You know, he's always there. How has he shown himself to you even through these struggles? And then the third question that you can answer is, what are you thankful for? What are you thankful for when you reflect on this past year? If you can answer all three in under a minute or two, feel free to answer more than one question. But otherwise, just pick one, quick video, send it in. Instructions are on the screen on where to send that. And then we can create our video. And the only other thing I have to say is, if you are looking for something to give to, we appreciate all the giving that we've received, and we are so blessed, to have your support during this season, and we just ask that you keep it coming. So the ways to give are on the screen, and we just ask, that you consider that for us. We are so happy and excited to celebrate Christmas with you and enjoy the rest of the gathering.
Hello, Walker Harbor. If you don't know me, my name is Sarah, our worship coordinator, and our God has gathered us together today. Even though we are not actually together, we're still together as the body of Christ. So let's come to worship and sing together.
My hope is built on nothing less.
are so good. You are our hope. You are the rock to which everything clings. Lord, we pray as we come to hear your word today that you will speak and that we will listen. We love you and we pray in your name. Amen.
Much love, Walker Harbor Church. My name is Wally Harrison. I am the teaching pastor for you all. And I am thrilled to be with you and thrilled that we are kicking off here the fourth week of Advent. And with that, we are picking up on how the sounds of Christmas are growing clearer and the smells of Christmas are becoming certainly more aromatic. Yeah. This season offers us the great paradox of a heightened excitement while simultaneously calling for a calm, reflective soul, which is a really good guide into our fourth candle on our Advent wreath, which is the candle of peace. The first week of Advent, you light the candle, we would light the candle of hope. Yeah, and then the second week is the candle of love. And third week, the pink candle, the candle of joy. And then this week, the candle of peace, shalom, wholeness, harmony. Yep. And so as we stoke the fire of anticipation for Christmas, we step into a short story that offers us our next song. Because we're in a series called Excavating Hope. And what we're doing each week is we've been looking at a song that surrounds the birth narrative of Jesus, the Christmas story. We're looking at all these songs that kind of that speak of this, sing of this, bring this about. Yep. And this song, though, this song for this week, well, it's much different than one of like majestic splendor. In fact, if you had a regal soundtrack, if you will, this song, oh, and you found it on there, it would be so odd. Because this song, it comes almost as more of a warning. It's about the arrival of the highly anticipated king, but we are told that this king will deal with pain and suffering by sharing in the pain and suffering. This song speaks of a king who won't come with a sword in order to stake claim to power. Rather, this king is going to come to subvert power by overcoming death at the hands of a sword. Yeah, this king won't come on behalf of a single people or one nation. Nope, this king comes on behalf of all people of all nations. So what that means is, friends, welcome to the original alternative rock song. Yeah. Yeah. Our vocalist for this song is a man called Simeon. Now, the text suggests that Simeon is an officiating priest at the temple in Jerusalem. And the time frame is about 40 days after the birth of Jesus. So we're going to jump into this story. And then what I want us to do is I want us to meditate on what we are calling this song, the song of the expectant. So we're going to be in Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. We'll put it all up on screen. Verses 22 to 35 is where we find our story. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him, that is Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord. That law there, that's Torah. And so a pair of doves or two young pigeons for the sacrifice. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation, that is the comfort to come to Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by, by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, singing, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace." Shalom. "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what had been said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Now Mary and Joseph, they're obedient Hebrew people who hold to Torah, the law. And in the Torah, law, we have Leviticus 12, which clearly states that a woman was considered unclean for 7 days after giving birth. And then on the eighth day, a male child would be circumcised. Then the mother would wait an additional 33 days to be purified from her bleeding. Next, the parents are instructed to bring a lamb to the temple to offer as a sacrifice before the child was presented to the Lord. Now, in our story, a pair of doves or two young pigeons will be sacrificed, because Leviticus 12 also tells us that that just highlights that this couple is poor and they cannot afford a lamb. Yep. So as they come into the temple to dedicate Jesus to the Lord, they come upon this man, Simeon. And he scoops up the child in his arms. And in that moment, it's like his soul seems to break into the happy dance. And he launches into song. But the song doesn't come in the form of pop. This isn't the popular top 40 song. No. It's not a good dance track either, really. No. This song has teeth. It has, I would say, some dirty guitar in it. Yeah. But its most defining feature is a deep, grounding bass sound. I would say Simeon's song comes to us like Johnny Cash as the closing act to a Beach Boys concert. Yes! The Man in Black, a little bit of edge, a little bit of darkness in there. Imagine him closing a Beach Boys concert. Yeah, that's what this is. This is Bob Dylan or Nirvana with Kurt Cobain when they came crashing onto the music scene in the 1990s. Or I would go with, too, like Adam Duritz and Counting Crows, an alternative of all that pop stuff. Or today, I'm going with Alicia Keys. Why? Because there are some dark overtones in there. There is certainly grit. And it's sung with like a sly grin of someone who's like, yeah, here we go. We're getting after it. Simeon's song is alternative rock before there was alternative rock. Yeah. Well, and why do we say this? Because kings are typically spoken of as majestic, regal, strong, powerful, rich in splendor. And the Hebrew people, what they're looking for is a Davidic king. A David-like king. So he's handsome, strong, skilled with the sword in order to lead them into battle for wiping out the oppressive Romans who have had their boot on these people's neck. And at this point of the birth narrative, the Hebrew people have been living under the rule of Herod the Great. And for some 30 years, he's been ruling. And Herod is vicious, unrelenting. So they've got to be assuming a powerful, military, savvy king who can overpower and overthrow that kind of king. Yep. And so what we are handed here are lyrics that are announcing how this child king is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and he will be a sign spoken against. So the song Simeon is singing, what we need to kind of dial into, it's a paraphrase of the ancient poet and prophet Isaiah. Of course. So let's bring in Isaiah chapter 8 verses 14 and listen to what you see what Simeon did, how he pulled these lyrics and said, this is fitting for this king. Isaiah 8:14, he will be a holy place. For both houses of Israel, he will be a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. See? And for the people of Jerusalem, he will be a trap and a snare. And then what's going to happen is later on, Isaiah goes on a rant against the leaders of both the northern and southern kingdoms, which Pastor Joe Graham introduced us to early on in this series. So he's going to go on a rant against these leaders for their arrogance and their destructive ways of leading. So in chapter 28 of Isaiah, verse 16 and 17, so this is what the sovereign Lord says. See, I lay a stone in Zion, that's Jerusalem, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. The one who relies on it will never be stricken with panic. I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the plumb line. Hail will sweep away your refuge, the lie. Yeah, and water will overflow your hiding place. This rock will be a stumbling block for the religiously arrogant. Now, the word falling in the Greek, which New Testament's written in Greek originally, the word falling is the word ptosis. Go ahead and say ptosis. We'll put it on screen. And it means the downfall or crashing. And it just reveals how Jesus will not come and play into the oppressive system currently in charge. No, he's going to call it out, call out all the chaos, and he's going to subvert all that which is sideways. Yep. And then the word rising used here in the Greek is the word anastasis. Go ahead and say anastasis. It means a raising up, already, resurrection of the dead. Yeah, anastasis is our word resurrection. You see what Simeon's singing about here, right? Simeon is offering this bold and strong language, but it's also dangerous, and it's very difficult for that original audience to get their arms around. He says the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. This is key because this kind of king, he's going to be about heart. That's motives and motivation for how people live. That's what's important. Those who simply are going through the motions or jumping through religious hoops, though, they're going to trip over this king. Can you see the depth and the calling in this? Simeon is describing the arrival of someone who seems to be more dangerous than he is cuddly and cute, correct? Yeah. Simeon, this guy has been patiently waiting while also actively anticipating the coming Messiah for year after year after year. This guy's old now, Simeon has, and he's been waiting and actively anticipating the Messiah. And then Simeon is told by Spirit that he will see the Messiah before he dies. But take notice of the language he uses when he's singing here. For my eyes have seen your salvation. He uses the word salvation here. So this is about rescue. It's got hints of the great Exodus rescue. It's got hints of the return from exile. But then he goes on to say that this salvation has been prepared in the sight of all nations and will be a light for the Gentiles. Whoa. And listen, that will be the glory of Israel. This song is for everyone. It's for all people. No matter how far away or low or lost, this king is for you. Now, no matter how dark it is, this light penetrates and overpowers the darkest darkness. Now, this is crucial to what's being said here for understanding glory, because this song is pleading with Israel. Please don't miss this. Glory is not simply found in being free from that which enslaves, but also being free for the rescue of others. Do you get that, Israel? Church, do you get that? This is not just being free from, but it's being free for rescuing others. Jesus will say, later on, Jesus comes along, Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, don't hide your light under a basket. Let it shine for what? All to see. Man, be like a city on a hill, is what Jesus says. And this would be deeply challenging for the people, though, who just want rescue. And it's easy to give in to self, to simply bend towards my wants and my desires. That's easy. It's tempting. It's right there. But Simeon sings about the one who will not only be for the rescue of some, but for all people. But also, not just that, he will call all people to act on the behalf of others, which is to simply say, love your neighbor as yourself. Church, how much do we need this today? And not just in this Advent season, but in the midst of political and societal upheaval, right? Simeon says this, in Jesus, my eyes have seen salvation. So that's not in a system, not in a political party. In Jesus, my eyes have seen. The person and the way of Jesus rescues us from ego, selfishness, side-taking. Yes, please, do we need that? Oh. And what else do we learn from old man Simeon? Well, we learn that he has immense patience, and he has a heightened anticipation for this coming salvation. And here's the key. We learn that this guy is drenched in spirit, and the ears of his heart are dialed into listening to this spirit. Now, in the Greek, this word spirit is the word pneuma, and the Hebrew word is ruach. Ruach. We'll put it up on the screen, which is translated as wind essence. The efficient source of any power, breath, the animating spirit that gives life. And get this, it is never, this word, These two words, pneuma, ruach, spirit, never referred to as a depersonalized force. It's intimate and deeply personal, always. Come on! The first use of spirit in the Bible, ruach, is Genesis, way to our left, first book, chapter 1. Genesis, chapter 1, verse 2. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the ruach of God was hovering over the waters. When there is nothing, the animating essence of the divine is hovering and moving and begins creating. And this same dynamic essence is doing gymnastics with an old man Simeon. Come on. That, friends, is the gift of grace. This is not like a magic potion that you drink. It's not an ATM code that you enter. I would say it's saying yes to that which is deepest within. It's living from the divine breath that gave birth to you and continues to sustain you. It's saying yes to that, living into that, trusting that. So what I want to do now is I want to close by giving us some space to meditate on another song. It's an ancient song, which can also act as a prayer for us. Because there is something about song that is transcendent. And I think the brilliant 20th century Abraham Joshua Heschel, he just nailed it when he said this. We'll put it up on the screen. The wave of a song carries the soul to heights which utterable meanings can never reach. Such abandonment is no escape, for the world of unutterable meanings is the nursery of the soul, the cradle of our ideas. It is not an escape, but a return to one's origins. Can you see how old man Simeon then sings a song driven by the essence of his origins? Another way I would say this is Simeon has rooted himself in the long view of life. And I believe it's this, it's from this which informs how he can wait as long as he's waited. This is what gives him that patience, this essence, which is why Simeon can say then, okay, feel free to dismiss your servant now. Not because he wants to escape, but because he has experienced union with the very essence of his origins. Oh. Yeah. Simeon has experienced union. That's what's known as holiness in church language. Yeah. He's experienced union with essence. So what I want to do as we close is I want us to just meditate on, to have us be awashed in the ancient song, Psalm 25, verses 4 and 5. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. For you I wait all Advent long. For you I can wait. Walker Harbor Church, may you be embraced now by the very essence of your origins. May you be empowered by this breath, this animating breath of life, that will strengthen you, encourage you, and empower you to sing this song for all people, because the grace and peace of Christ is with you in this. Amen.
As we continue in worship, let's sing together of the hope that we have in our coming King.
Born in Bethlehem.
May you go today in the love and the grace and peace and the hope of our Lord. Have a great week, Walker Harbor.